The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The other big decision, of course, on birthright citizenship, a much more fractured decision, but a loss for the Trump White House as the court decided that what the 14th Amendment meant as it was written means that this is the bottom line. If you were born here in the U.S., regardless of your parents' legal status, you are a U.S. citizen. Justice Alito, Justice Thomas, Justice Gorsuch all writing very full-throated dissents to this. Justice Alito saying you've created not only a national security issue, but also one in which you are going to be creating an incentive for more people to come to this country illegally, have children, and make sure they have citizenship for life. The president vowing to do something on Capitol Hill, and the speaker is saying there is a possibility they get something done. He knows it'll be a heavy lift, an uphill battle, but it looks like that fight now over birthright citizenship turns here to Capitol Hill.
We need to address the issue as quickly and as efficiently as we can. I just saw an excerpt from the great Justice Clarence Thomas, who said that at the original drafting of that language, it was meant to really value and enhance citizenship, and now it's being used to devalue citizenship. I think it's a pretty good way to summarize it. I'm with Clarence Thomas. I'm with the president. I think the court made the wrong decision.
Well, King Charles has betrayed the Commonwealth and should be dethroned immediately. The monarch is meant to be the defender of the faith, one faith only. Yet I wonder, which faith is that to him? Buckingham Palace has changed the definition of his role according to the annual financial review of the royal household, which contains fresh terminology. Now, his updated role says His Majesty is Supreme Governor of the Church of England and protects the space for faith within the multi-faith nation.
You tell me a greater honor on this earth. Tell me a greater honor that God could give to a people than to give them the throne of David and Jacob's pillar stone. Until we understand that, our problems are going to intensify, and I can guarantee you that on the basis of the prophecies in your own Bible. I can guarantee it. You just follow up on what I'm saying and see if I'm not right. And I can make a positive prophecy on the other side. If we turn to God, those problems are going to begin to disappear. It's really a choice that's up to us.
I said to Boeing, what's the best one? They said, this is the best plane ever built, and you're going to have the privilege of flying it, and I have a privilege also of flying it. But this is the first flight. We're going to the Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Library opening, and that'll be very good. That'll be a lot of fun. But I think, you know, to be honest with you, I'm excited about the first flight. It's something nobody's ever seen anything like it. Even you people with all your experience and all of your talent, you will never see anything like this. So they just completed it. They made it appropriate for a president. That means the security and all of the different bells and whistles they put on. Very complex though, but it's really quite something. And this is a plane that the United States of America should have. Our Air Force One was 35, 36 years old. And it would be parked next to the new ones like this, and it really didn't look appropriate for our country. So we're very proud of this. The country is very proud of it. And you can do two things. You can low-key it, or you can show it. And I think the country should be very proud of it. And it's beautiful, and you'll see that in a little while when you board.
So what did Christ prophesy about the times of the Gentiles? Let's take a look at that. Luke 21 and verse 22. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Here's a monumental, staggering statement. All this prophecy, and 90% of it is for today. It's all being fulfilled, and you can see it before your eyes. You can see it. And you can see exactly what Jesus Christ prophesied.
Ephraim and Manasseh just inviting invasion. You see it. You see it every day. The king and Ephraim, he's now a defender of the faiths, plural, because, well, Ephraim or Britain is multicultural. They are just inviting the world in. And here in the States, yesterday, you had the Supreme Court ruling birthright citizenship. Just make it to America if you're 8.5 months pregnant. Give birth here and bam, you've got a citizen, a U.S. citizen. A 5-4 decision. Meanwhile, President Trump, he couldn't be happier flying the maiden flight aboard the Qatari jet. My father in that last clip there, talking about entering into the times of the Gentiles. That's where we are. That's where we are. The earlier clip from 1996, he was talking about Britain letting go of the stone of destiny. And he said if they did that, which they did, this is another anniversary year, by the way, 30 years since Britain just said goodbye to their history, goodbye to the stone, goodbye to the stone of destiny. And my father at the time said that it's not going to go well for Britain from here on out. And then he said in 2017, when God moved the stone, when a spiritual move, a new throne, a new stone, he said after that, it's going to get much, much worse for the once great Britain. So much to get to on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily, and we are back in our comfortable studio here in Edmond, Oklahoma, after a late night last night with Celtic Throne performing in Fort Myers, Florida. We've got some feedback lined up, not from Fort Myers, but from the Miami show. I think that was maybe a week ago. So lots of excited people as they stood on their feet there at the end. And it was a smaller crowd, but one that was very, very excited, as I say. So, and the tour continues for, another week and a half, I think it is. The final performance of the tour, by the way, is right here in Edmond, Oklahoma on July 12th, I believe it is. So you can go to CelticThrone.com to get all of the details on the remaining shows in St. Petersburg, I think, in Florida, of course, Pensacola. I forget the other place. I know there's a place in Louisiana before they make their way back home here to Edmond. So just inviting what other nation, as I keep saying, what other nation just opens its borders wide, wide open? Imagine Japan saying, listen, if you take a vacation to Tokyo as Americans, and your wife is 8.5 months pregnant, if she gives birth here, then you've got Japanese citizenship for life. That's right. Look at what this invites in. And you've got people on the court like Amy Coney Barrett, appointed by President Trump. And she's siding with the radicals. And the radicals in the media, they love it. In fact, the only thing they're upset about is that how could this possibly be a 5-4 ruling? I mean, everybody should be voting for the fact that just bring your babies into the country, or rather have them in this country, and everything is set. What a disastrous ruling. I keep saying about the curses that are setting in. It identifies who Israel is in these last days. It sure does. God warned Israel anciently and said, if you invite foreigners in, you're going to bring in all of their customs, their culture, and yes, their religion. And pretty soon you're going to have to be a defender, not of your faith. You're going to have to defend faiths, plural. And, of course, those plural faiths, they love King Charles. Oh, yes. Defending the faiths. the Supreme Court ruling, the best coverage really, was at the Trumpet brief this morning. It says it struck down President Trump's birthright citizenship order this week. This guarantees citizenship to every child born on U.S. soil, no matter how briefly or unlawfully the parents are here. So they twist and distort the 14th Amendment. And voila, you've got all of these foreigners. I mean, beginning with the birth, paid for by U.S. taxpayers. And then you've got a permanent resident, a citizen, that can draw on all the other welfare programs that the U.S. has to dole out. It says here, illegal border crossers, overstayed visas, birth tourists flying in from Beijing to deliver and fly home, all of it produces an American citizen. Isn't that wonderful? It says here, in Trump versus Barbara, six separate opinions came out of nine justices reading the same text. It shows how contested and how dangerous this issue is. Six different opinions. You've just got nine justices. They read the same text. They look at the 14th Amendment, and they come up with six different ideas. That shows where we are as a country. It shows how fractured and divided everything is, every system is. And yet, in some of the same commentary, you'll hear people say, well, this is a sign of our strength, our diversity, you see? Everyone can have different opinions. I said in one of my messages while traveling that in the latest July issue of the Trumpet magazine, about what made America great in the first place, my father references Abraham Lincoln's decree from back in 1863, calling on America to fast and pray. And he said in that presidential statement that we've forgotten God. Where is God? Where is God in these developments? What is God's opinion? What does God think about an alien invasion? Well, he has something to say, but nobody cares. We just have our different opinions. Every man is doing what seems right in his own eyes. Judges 21, verse 25. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. It's a free-for-all. And we love it. Listen, I am the king of England. But I'm going to defend every faith on earth. This is where we are. The bottom line vote was 6-3, five justices plus Justice Brett Kavanaugh agreed Trump's executive order had to fall. Kavanaugh was even there, halfway. He's kind of halfway between Amy Coney Barrett and Justice Alito, I guess. He's kind of in the middle. They're all reading the 14th Amendment. They've all got a different view, but that's okay. We celebrate our diversity. We're going to celebrate our diversity until, as Steve Bannon said this morning, until civil war erupts. He didn't talk about celebrating diversity, but he said, hey, a civil war's coming. Look at all of these Democrat primaries. You've got these radical progressives being replaced by even more radical progressives. Do away with ICE. No border security whatsoever. And a lot of them are young, by the way. The young, ultra-radical progressives. Yeah, they're winning races. Now it's Colorado. Previously, it was Washington, D.C., Georgia, New York City. They're going farther and farther to the left. And really, if you want to deceive yourself into thinking that MAGA is going farther and farther to the right, well, just look at the opinion yesterday from the Supreme Court. No, they're actually, the red states are actually being dragged in the progressive direction. They're not as extreme. They're not as radical. They have a love for their country. But the direction of the whole nation And then for Buckingham Palace to come out yesterday and say, yeah, we're going to change the language. King Charles prefers this. What does that tell you about the direction of Britain these past few decades? It's embarrassing. The level of self-hatred, ashamed of our history, our heritage. And here we're coming up to the 250-year anniversary of the founding of America, and they had to rush to get the Qatari jet ready for America's birthday. What does that say about what we think of our history, our heritage? Hurry up. Get the Emir's plane ready for the President of the United States. We've got a birthday to celebrate. Is anybody listening? Is anybody watching this? Times of the Gentiles, you heard it there in the cold open. Chief Justice John Roberts, writing for the majority, traced the rule of English common law. Kavanaugh disagreed. The dissents accused the majority of inventing history to get their ruling. Justice Clarence Thomas, joined by Gorsuch, called the majority's account not historically accurate, fundamentally opposed to the founders' rejection of English law. And then Mr. Hilliker writes here, the case should be clear-cut. The 14th Amendment says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, which the freed slaves were following the Civil War, they were subject to the jurisdiction of America, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. But now you don't have to be under the jurisdiction of America. You just need to go to one of the sites. We saw lots of tourists in Florida. There's all kinds of tourists in America right now because of the World Cup. If any of them are 8.5 months pregnant, what a ruling this turns out to be for them. They can go back to Paraguay with their little son, paid for by U.S. tax dollars, and he's an American citizen. It's unbelievable. If you sneak into the country illegally and have a child, your new family is not, nor never has been, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Are all these World Cup soccer fans, are they subject to the jurisdiction of American law or government? Well, I mean, they certainly have to submit to it when they're visiting. But they're not citizens. What other country does this except for Israel? Look at the Old Testament. Look at the problem. One of the, perhaps the number one problem in ancient Israel was inviting the world in. History's repeating itself. History's repeating itself. The main architect of the 14th Amendment, Senator Jacob Howard, put it best. This amendment, which I have offered, is simply declaratory of what I regard as the law of the land already, that every person born within the limits of the U.S. and subject to their jurisdiction is by virtue of natural law and national law a citizen of the United States. This will not, of course, include persons born in the U.S. who are foreigners. This was the architect of the 14th Amendment. This certainly doesn't include foreigners, aliens who belong to the families of ambassadors or foreign ministers accredited to the government of the United States, but will include every other class of persons. The practical effect, Mr. Hilliker writes, of the court's ruling is a standing invitation. Just come on in. And people on the other side might say, well, listen, the border's secure now, so it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Because you can come in for a visit. And this would apply to you, I guess. The Justice Department called it a national security threat. With executive action now blocked, nothing stops the birth tourism industry from expanding. Forget about trying to find a human trafficker in Mexico. Just go to Disney World. Just come to the country when your wife is 8.5 months pregnant and say you're visiting. You're a tourist. It says, Moses warned that a disobedient nation would watch its high and fenced walls come down. That's in Deuteronomy 28. That is a picture of broken defenses, including those preventing illegal immigration. You're seeing a theme run right through all of these stories coming out of Ephraim and Manasseh. Well, we've seen it in Ephraim with these horrific knife attacks coming from Muslims. And now you have King Charles rushing to defend Islam. He's a defender, not of the Christian faith, all faiths. Just go along with the trends, the spirit of the age. Really, it's not even the spirit of the world in the sense that it's Ephraim and Manasseh who are the chief offenders because the Gentile nations don't do this. The times of the Gentiles. Just come on in. Mr. Hilliker quotes Isaiah, judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. And so, again, this doesn't negate the prophecy in Amos 7 about the kingdom's court. That court has helped Jeroboam. But the sickness is still there from Jeroboam on down. And that's becoming more evident every day, isn't it? Of course it is. The whole head is sick. It's sick from head to toe. I keep reading 1 John 5. I think I might have read it yesterday on the show in the hotel, but it's been a whirlwind trip, so forgive me if I'm repetitive here. 1 John 5 and verse 19, and we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. John says to the faithful disciples, and by the time that he wrote this, the little flock, it was little, they had been scattered, they had been persecuted. The church had been infiltrated by imposters like Diotrephes. And John says, we know this. If we're in God's church, if we're in God's family, we know that we are of God and that the whole world, it lies in wickedness. Is there any hope for this world? When you hear the religious revival spokespeople talk about this world, pay attention to their tone, to what they're suggesting. Are they convinced that the whole world lies in wickedness, or are they convinced that this world is a pretty good place and the messy areas can be cleaned up? They can be fixed. The problems can be fixed because, after all, people are purchasing Bibles. As my father has said, you better know your Bible. You better know what the Bible says if you're going to be able to discern the difference between true religion and fake religion. We've heard a lot about religion this past year, especially since Charlie Kirk's assassination. 100,000 people turned out for his memorial service, including the President of the United States of America. And many were convinced coming out of that that America has awakened. We're in the midst of maybe it's another Reformation. And maybe this time everything gets fixed. Everyone turns to God. My father in the No Freedom Without Law book, he wrote that 26, 27 years ago. He explains in that booklet how our sins have led to the corruption that we're seeing today. Judges and the courts six different opinions. Nobody's commenting on that. They're just commenting on, well, 5-4, and it's a terrible decision. Or in the case of the radical left, oh, we barely got it through. Thankfully, the nation was saved. But six different opinions. You look at no freedom without law. You look at what my father wrote following the hanging Chad debate back in the year 2000. George W. Bush and Al Gore. You look at what my father said about the judicial system, how unjust it is. And then you add to that America Under Attack more recently. Great Again. I mentioned that book last week. Tomorrow's news today, I mean, we've been right on top of it. God's perspective, God's view. What does God think about Ephraim and Manasseh inviting an invasion? What does God think about this? Our people don't think much of it. I guess we think it's wonderful. People might scream a little bit if, you know, they see the news that someone was knifed to death by a foreigner who shouldn't have been in the UK in the first place. But then, you know, it dies down and everything returns to normal. And a few weeks later, the King of Britain says he's the defender of the faiths, plural. Here's more from Sky News, clip 2.
To me, this is appalling. So the monarch is apparently now someone who safeguards all religions throughout the nation and across Britain's diverse religious landscape. Yes, that old chestnut, diversity is our strength, apparently. How well has that gone for the West? Changing the definition of the Christian faith, one faith, to say some ridiculous fantasy about multi-faith nations is a betrayal, in my view. A betrayal of the oath he took on the day of his coronation, when he took the titles of Defender of the Faith and Supreme Governor of the Church of England. The monarchy has been the defender of the faith for over 500 years, and the king has just thrown it all away with the tick of a pen. I mean, sure, there may be different faiths within the UK, but fundamentally it is a Christian nation.
She's completely right. Centuries of tradition. Bible-based tradition, in many cases. Yeah, it's just shoved aside with the pen prick. Just a little pen. And suddenly, everything changes. A betrayal of the oath that he took on the day of his coronation. And what did my father say in the New Throne of David book? Well, you know the quotes. They're in my notes later, but we'll move along. This is clip 3, also from Sky News.
And so now we have a king that's more interested in virtue signaling and being a king of the faiths when no one else asked him to be that. And he's forsaken the God of his fathers, the God of this nation, and no longer stands up for the very constitution that made him king. That's the irony of all of this. That without the church, without Christianity, there can be no monarch, because it's the church that anoints the monarchs to rule over this nation.
Someone on the same program. It says here in the New Throne of David book, my father wrote this back in 2017, we're living in a time of terrible corruption in the nations of Israel. With the royal family in Britain today, God cannot correct the situation by the stripes of men. He cannot set things right with Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah under present conditions. And then listen to this. You saw from the cold open there, footage from 1996, my father's program, The Key of David. He says, in November 1996, the PCG began plans to print Mystery of the Ages. That same month, on November 15, the Stone of Scone was transferred to Scotland. Mystery of the Ages was on the rise, and that stone of destiny was faltering. This is news. This is history. This is revelation. You don't hear anywhere else except on this program or at thetrumpet.com. The Key of David. That's it. People don't seem interested in even their own spectacular history and heritage and traditions. Okay, it's our 250th year. Let's look back. Let's look at the foundation. Let's go back 5 centuries in the case of Britain. The oath to defend the faith. It meant something. Not today. No, just brush it aside. Just with one document. Or in the case of the Anchor Babies, write an opinion. And now suddenly, the 14th Amendment means something that even the architect explicitly said it didn't. Look at how much damage is done with a pen. On the positive side, Churchill understood the power of the pen to communicate truth. He understood the power of oratory. If it was used for the purposes of good. But look at how much damage. False doctrine, half-truths, lies, deception. Look at how much damage it causes. Mystery of the ages on the rise, and the stone of destiny was faltering, and it's no longer the stone of destiny today, my father said in 2017. But again, listen to this history. About 10 months later, 10 months after they gave up the stone in 1996, on August 31, 1997, Princess Diana was killed in a car crash. Did the royal family of David's throne lose some of its protection from God? I don't know for certain, my father says, but it is interesting that it happened within a year of England surrendering the stone. When God gave the revelation about the new stone on January 16, 2017, the royal family of Britain was displaced as the royal family of David's throne. They were displaced, and now there's a new throne and a king whose oath is to defend the faith, singular, the faith, God's truth, the church of God. It says here, that was a signal of terrible things to come upon Britain, as well as a sharp decline of America and Judah. It was also an indication that we would see a rapid decline in Britain's royal family. You give up the stone, you say, I'm not really interested in that anymore. It's a signal, it's a sign. A sign that the royal family is, the British royal family is in trouble. Did we play, I don't think we played clip 4, so try that one from Sky News.
But why has King Charles felt the need to issue Ramadan messages?
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. Ladies and gentlemen, as Muslims across the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth begin preparations to celebrate Eid after fasting for the holy month of Ramadan, I just wanted to convey my heartfelt best wishes to all who celebrate this festival.
He even used this year's state banquet speech to make another acknowledgement.
In Nigeria and across the world, I can only wish you and the millions of Muslims in our countries Eid Mubarak.
There it is again. Not even the state banquet was safe from virtue signalling. King Charles and Queen Camilla, you might recall, as you can see there, when they packed dates for Muslims to eat at Ramadan. It goes on and on, and I shouldn't be shocked by this, really. In 1993, King Charles, well then, actually he was Prince Charles, He professed his love for Islam.
Islam is part of our past and our present in all fields of human endeavour. It has helped to create modern Europe. It is part of our own inheritance, not a thing apart.
Oh, boy.
More than this, Islam can teach us today a way of understanding and living in the world which Christianity itself is the poorer for having lost.
Islam is part of our past. It's part of our inheritance. It's our heritage. That right there is the King of Britain. My father in that 1996 Key of David, he said, this does not bode well for the UK. Here's one more clip from that old Key of David, clip 6.
I'll tell you something that really disturbed me recently. When I noticed that God calls Israel evil in this end time, I thought about it more deeply when I thought about the throne of David, and I realized what God is saying more profoundly, I think, than ever before. Because God hasn't given the throne of David or the Jacob's pillar stone to the Gentiles. He's given them to Israel. And they've turned away and act like they're ashamed of God. They don't even want Jacob's pillar stone inscribed on that stone anymore. And I know that God is wrathful about that. And I can understand why. Why is it that Israel will not take advantage of these wonderful, inspiring opportunities? Why must they have such contempt for the living God? Something to think about. After all, we have many problems today. Why? There is a reason why. There is a cause and there is an effect. And it all gets back to the throne of David and to this wonderful stone that's being discussed in the news today. And I tell you, most people don't understand what they're talking about, because if they did, they'd know this is their relationship with God, whether it's good or bad or indifferent or whatever. This is it.
We need to play that entire show. The British people need to know that there are serious consequences for rejecting the throne of David. And you know what? The American people need to know as well that there are serious consequences for rejecting the throne of David. This was Jeroboam's chief sin back in the Old Testament. He broke free from the throne of David. He erected his own system of religion and pagan holidays, customs, traditions, the traditions of men. He did everything in his power to prevent Israelites from returning to the throne of David. And there are serious consequences for that. You look back at 1 Samuel 8, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto you, for they have not rejected you, but they've rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Israel wanted a ruler, a king, just like all the other foreign nations. They wanted the kind of government that every other nation had. And God said to his prophet, just let them do it. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. They're rejecting God as king. They're rejecting God as ruler. Verse 8, well, just back up to verse 7. It says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto..." Well, I read that. Verse 8 says, "According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods..." Oh, you mean other religions? They got to a point where they said, hey, listen, we want to defend other gods as well. We want to be the defenders of faiths, plural. Other gods, other religions, other idols, other traditions. Just invite it all in. They did that. It says here, so they also did unto you. Now, therefore, verse 9, hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Let them do it, but, you know, warn them. Tell them what will happen when you put your trust in human government. When you put your trust in other gods, other kings. And it goes through many of the curses that would set in the next several verses. And down in verse 18 it says, and you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. You'll cry out. Eventually you'll come to a point where you cry out and say, this is horrible. This is oppressive. This is not a just government. This is not a just judicial system. This is not a righteous king. You'll cry out, and God will not listen. God will not hear you. God warned you. God told you where this was leading. You better hang on to God's throne, or else a lot of bad things are going to happen. My father gave a show in 2023 about the times of the Gentiles. This was just 3 years ago. Play clip 9.
Well, notice what he says in verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, nations, it talks about, are going to be destroyed. Does that give us reason to want to look into this and prove it to ourselves? And you can prove it. You certainly can. Jerusalem is mentioned here. Anciently, that was the capital of Israel, the 12 nations. Today, God is focusing on three of them. Prophetic Israel is called Israel today. Three nations, America, Britain, and the Jewish nation, the two birthright nations, and the Jewish nation being the scepter nation. They have been blessed mightily by God, and you can read all about that in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy.
How many years? Almost 100 years. We'll have to go back and get to the 100-year anniversary of the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. What was that, 1928, 1929? It was one of the very first things that Herbert Armstrong wrote. He just immersed himself into the truth of the Bible. Even when he had no following, he had no people. He went to Bible campaigns and there'd maybe be one convert after 6 weeks. That didn't slow down the end time Elijah. He just boldly proclaimed the truth. God backed him. And everything grew and expanded as a result. It's inspiring history. It's the anniversary, as I keep saying, that we should be thinking about most here in America. 100 years since God opened the mind of an end-time Elijah, someone coming in the spirit and power of Elijah, someone from the line of King David, by the way. So what king are you going to support and back? What throne are you going to avidly support, energetically, diligently, courageously, boldly? Which throne will it be? God's throne? Or the throne or king of some human government? There are serious consequences for rejecting God's throne. And the people of Britain and America need to know this. The message from God's church has been consistent for a century, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah. Jeremiah 30 talks about Jacob's trouble, Ephraim and Manasseh in particular. But little Judah too. All three are going to fall together, it says in the book of Hosea. That's what we better be ready for. The signs are there. The handwriting is on the wall. This is clip 10 from that same 2023 Key of David.
We're in certainly deep into the times of the Gentiles already. You can see it happening out there. Look at what's happening. I don't even have to explain the nations and what's happening in this world. You can see it. If you know anything about world news, you can see it all happening right before your eyes.
You see it. You see it, my father said 3 years ago. Skipping ahead, this was President Trump on Air Force One. I don't know if this was the maiden flight for the new plane, but he's talking about it here in clip 16. Do we not have that clip? 1 second, I'm told. I can read it if you guys don't have it. We'll play another one from 2014, this time, clip 11.
Did you know that that immigration problem is actually prophesied in your Bible? The British nation also has a serious immigration problem, and very similar in some ways to what's happening in America. And they too are deeply divided about that issue and many other issues. But they too, their problem too is prophesied in your Bible.
So that's from 2014. We've got a few more from that show as well about the times of the Gentiles, the immigration problem, and so on. But switching now again to President Trump on Air Force One, clip 16.
How much did it cost American taxpayers to upgrade the plane?
Well, of course, very little relative to what it would cost if we did it a different way. So this was a gift from a country that's treated us very well. And they're an ally of us over in the Middle East, Qatar. And I went to Boeing. I said, who has the best one? They said, Qatar. There's never been a plane like it. Frankly, we couldn't build a plane like this because we wouldn't be willing to spend the kind of money necessary. They spent top dollars. So the Emir Tamim, who's a great gentleman, he said, no, I'd like to make a contribution to the country. So it was very nice. And we're able to do it in about 5 months, you know, bring it up to the presidential standard, meaning security-wise.
The Emir is a great man, a wonderful gentleman, a gift from Qatar, America's ally, America's friend. What a sign of the and rush to get all of the upgrades made ahead of America's birthday. Listen, this is part of our history. This is part of our heritage. This is who we are. How does this affect someone's judgment, by the way, when it comes to U.S.-Qatari relations? Well, I mean, they did give us the billions-dollar plane, and it's now Air Force One. I guess it's completely secure. Hopefully they've swept the plane for devices of some kind. Who knows? But it's up to presidential standards. And now we can really celebrate America's birthday, America's founding. He did it. The Emir did it. As a goodwill gesture, he wants to give a gift to America. How dangerous is this direction that Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah, to a lesser extent, because at least they'll fight against these Gentile invaders. At least they work, well, I was going to say they work to secure their border, but there's a lot of infiltrators within Judah as well. That's the truth. The city of Jerusalem is pretty much divided, half and half. What is it about Israel, the nations of Israel, that just says, you know what? anyone and everyone can come on in. We will invite the whole world. And then once you're here, we'll defend you. You have a baby here, we'll defend that baby. We'll pay for that baby. We'll put that baby on welfare. That baby can vote when it's 18. That baby can help select mayors in U.S. cities. The King of Britain, defending all faiths. Little England, that's where we are. That's what, coming out of World War II, that's what the great British Empire chose. We just want to be little Englanders. And if you want to invite the whole world in, that's fine. Hopefully it won't disrupt our community at all. Hopefully it won't affect trends or our culture or what we celebrate. That clip, by the way, from Prince Charles at the time, 1993, when he was saying all of that. And then 1996, give up the stone. We don't need it. And then 1997, it started going downhill fast for the British royal family and for Britain and for America, too. God's work, God's church has been proclaiming this message for nearly a century, and we're seeing it happen, and it's accelerating our downfall. And like Mr. Armstrong said in U.S. and Britain, the higher up you go, the harder the crash will be. We'll save a couple minutes for the feedback from the Miami performance last week. Celtic Throne 2, go to CelticThrone.com if you'd like to secure tickets for one of the few remaining shows on this summer's tour. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Enjoy the feedback.
I thought it was amazing. Our cheeks hurt, our hands hurt from clapping.
Beautiful program, learned a wonderful history, and my hands hurt from clapping and my smiling.
Oh my gosh, I would come 1,000 times. This was amazing. Better than I could have ever imagined.
Oh, it was fabulous. And I've gone to see a lot of these shows. This has been my favorite.
This was beyond phenomenal. It was definitely something to come to and enjoy.
Wanted to go to see the River Dance in New York, but I never had a chance. But now I got to see them. It's great.
Oh, amazing. Beautiful show.
I'm like in Disneyland with this show. You know, it's so amazing. It's beyond my expectation. When I saw the show in the web, I was, this could be good. This is beyond amazing. Believe me.
Fantastic. Absolutely mesmerizing the whole time. Loved it.
Love the choreography, the music, the dance. Oh, everybody got involved. It's great. The best ever.
It was wonderful. It was fantastic. Great dancing, Wayne singing. It was great.
I thought the dancing was precise. I thought the set was phenomenal. I was a little interested about the religious commentary and whether that was like Irish folklore or just an American thing. But overall, I really enjoyed the show and I appreciated being here.
Great show. Love the joy. The collaboration of different art forms, the live musicians, the dancing, and just the smiles, all the joy. So thank you.
I'm Cuban, but I definitely can connect with the Irish. Beautiful.
I want to go to Ireland. I want to go back to Ireland now and see what I missed.
Oh, it was wonderful. I've seen Lord of the Dance twice, and this was amazing. The songs were better, had a better story, and the dancers, it was amazing. You need to come back to Miami.
Now I have to get out and share it with everybody. I cannot imagine the production, what this took to put this together. So my hat's off to everybody. Amazing. I love it.
Simply awesome.
Couldn't tell that you guys were from Oklahoma.
I recommend it.
Absolutely fantastic. It's amazing how they dance.
The rhythms, the ability of the dancers all together, the band is fantastic. This is the best I've been to in a long time. I'm really glad you guys came.
Just incredible, I wouldn't say stunts, but talent. That, especially that flip, it was just incredible. I was really impressed, and I'm really happy to be here.
The show is so great, especially the acrobatic dancers. They're impressive. I can't believe how they jump in the air.
The tapping, the
dancing and the singing is just awesome. The scenery is great. I love it.
The level of athleticism and synchronizing and movement. Our son is a dancer, so we kind of like are familiar with the world and appreciate the training and the effort. And an interesting angle for that for me as a Jew and as someone who was born in Israel and lived in Jerusalem, I never heard that the Irish people traced themselves back to those who were exiled from Zion, from Jerusalem. So that was like a whole new discovery about how the Irish people tell the story of their origin.